Welcome back to EcoTalk. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Ronnie Cummins of the Organics Consumer Association. And if you are interested in buying organic products and you need to know what you should know to make sure you're getting something pure and clean, especially if you're paying a little extra for it, you will not want to go anywhere except stay tuned in, because we have a very up-to-the-minute report from Ronnie Cummins about what's going on, efforts in the industry to try to dilute organic milk, for example, and what you need to know to make sure you get the good stuff, and most importantly, that we all send a message that we don't want the organic label messed with. So we're going to be talking about the big O, as in organic, in just a couple of minutes. But first, I want to tell you about Shauna Weber. She has been our interim producer at EcoTalk and a wonderful addition to our team. She has lots of degrees in environmental studies. She taught at Santa Clara University. And in between jobs, we were lucky enough to have her working with us and still do for another couple of weeks. But we're proud to say, although it is their gain and our loss, that Princeton University has very intelligently hired her away to be their first manager of sustainability. So she'll be joining them in June for a September startup. And so she's also going to be keeping her finger on the pulse of what's going on college campuses in terms of environment awareness and in terms of maybe trying to get us on some college radio stations, because there, of course, is a lot of great activism going on. And we haven't been able to tap into that, nor have them access us as much as possible, the college student population being them. So we're going to hopefully make that happen. And with Shauna's help, we will be finding out more. We're going to begin with a special report from Shauna Weber about what's taking place at Penn State. Here it is.
If you haven't heard the news from Penn State University, you'll want to listen up. Their latest student action has inspired leaders across the nation. At the end of April 2006, peaceful students from the activist group Eco Action performed a sit-in in front of University President Graham Spanier's office. This was after 2 years of failed attempts to meet with the president to discuss reducing Penn State's greenhouse gas emissions. Students felt that stronger approaches were needed to impress on the administration the importance of this issue to the nation's future leaders. During the sit-in, they vowed to remain on the premises until the president agreed to adopt an aggressive policy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to 7% below 1990 levels by 2012. Such a goal would make Penn State the national leader in greenhouse gas reduction. By Friday, April 28th, students had sat for 25 hours and flooded Spanier's office with 4,500 signed letters from the Penn State community. When President Spanier finally emerged to speak with Eco Action, he said their demands were not feasible. Eco Action responded with a request for a third-party feasibility study for reducing greenhouse gas emissions on campus and asked Spanier to commit to adopting all feasible measures based on the study results. At the end of the day, Spanier had agreed to renew negotiations starting Monday, May 1st. Eco Action is currently at the table and has vowed not to leave until satisfied that Penn State will step up to the global warming plate. Eco Action has gained recognition among national student leaders as an inspiring example of a peaceful and respectful approach to making our world a better place. Student organizations across the country are considering similar actions on their campuses. Many thanks to Eco Action for their dedication to fighting global warming, and we look forward to further news from Penn State. For EcoTalk, I'm Shauna Weber.
And thank you, Shauna. And if our wonderful action-oriented listeners, that is you, want to call President Spanier at Penn State to encourage him to adopt greenhouse gas reduction measures and say, on the contrary, it is quite feasible, please go to our website, which again is www.ecotalk.net for more information. I want to welcome Ronnie Cummins now with the Organic Consumers Association. This is another good news, bad news story where organic is really catching on. When you see it at Safeway, they have their own O label. You know it's gone mainstream, and that is, you know, really an environmental dream, and even not just environmentalists, but all those who are concerned about not only the health of whoever's consuming a particular product, but also those who grow and create our food products. And so tell us, first of all, what the trend is, and then, you know, what, of course, some of the downside is. It always seems like, you know, as soon as something gets big, there becomes another side to the story that we need to watch out for.
Well, the good news, Betsy, is that 50 million Americans are starting to buy healthy organic food on a regular basis and have turned our alternative food and farming system into a $15 billion powerhouse. There's so much demand now that there's starting to be shortages of things like organic meat and milk and citrus and other things. Unfortunately, the bad news is that big corporations have noticed that this is the way the wind's blowing and have entered into the organic market and are lobbying furiously to meet the growing demand, not by helping USA farmers and ranchers make the transition to organic. They want to meet the increasing demand for organic products by lowering organic standards and by outsourcing so-called organic products from places like China.
And who is spearheading this effort? You say some companies, some industry, but who exactly are the bad guys?
Well, the giant entering into the room is Walmart, who have recently stated that they want to be the market leader in organics, that they intend to sell twice as much product in their organic line as they ever have before. And Walmart and others, the supermarket chains and the grocery manufacturers of America, have lobbied hard to start lowering standards and to allow practices such as factory dairy feedlots, where the cows are kept in intensive confinement, to call themselves organic.
Now, you know, I understand that Kellogg's is coming out with organic versions of their popular Raisin Bran and Rice Krispies cereal, and you say in the past, big companies, cereal makers in particular, like General Mills, Kraft Foods, and even Campbell's Soup, have been trying to hide their organic side, and now they're trying to promote it just like low-fat and natural can be used to really sell products and also to exploit.
Yes, I think all the big companies now are seeing that with Walmart and Safeway and the others moving in this direction, they better speed up their efforts or they're going to get left behind. So some of these companies are now willing to put the corporate parent's name on the organic products, although the general practice is still to leave that off. For example, you go to buy the leading brand of organic milk in your local natural food store or grocery, it says Horizon Organic on the label, and you'd never know it's owned by Dean Foods, the largest dairy conglomerate in America. You'd also not know that milk, at least half of that Horizon Organic, was coming from these factory dairy feedlots where the animals are kept in intensive confinement and are not pastured. You go over to buy your organic juice, you see something that says organic orange juice. What you're not going to find on the label is that juice is coming from Brazil, not from Florida or Southern California.
So what needs to change, Ronnie?
What needs to change is that organic consumers need to vote not only with our pocketbooks in the marketplace, where we're doing a good job of changing things around. We need to get organized politically. We need to make sure that our tax money is used not just to give $25 billion a year to large factory farms and genetic engineering operations. We need to provide some money to help family farmers in the United States that want to make the transition to organic. We need to help them to do so that we'll have a supply of organic foods and other products into the future that meet our demand, because the alternative is we're going to see lowered standards and we're going to see more and more outsourcing from places like China, where labor standards are abysmal and where organic certification is dubious at best.
Now, I don't want to milk the milk story too much, but that is a product that many people do look for in the organic variety. What are some good players? What are some brands that are truly organic? And what about the pasteurization process? Is that something that's questionable as well? It could be misleading?
Well, the good news is that most organic dairy farmers in the United States today and Canada and Mexico are doing it right. They're pasturing their animals. They're following strict organic standards. The bad news is that there's a couple of large corporate players, Dean Foods, Horizon, and Aurora Organic, to name two, that are skirting the rules, violating traditional organic standards. They're not pasturing their animals. They're keeping them in intensive confinement. And they're also continuously importing calves from conventional farms where these calves have been weaned on blood and fed slaughterhouse waste and genetically engineered food and dosed with antibiotics. We've got to put a stop to this. There's only about five brand names now that consumers have to look out for. We're telling people on our site, organicconsumers.org, which brands to avoid, and you can trust the other brands in organic dairy. Now, to the issue of pasteurization, there's definitely a lot of evidence that raw milk and raw dairy products like raw cheese are definitely good for you, but there's also a large number of laws, federal laws, that make it extremely difficult for dairy farmers to sell raw milk or raw other, you know, goat milk or cow's milk. So it typically depends on what state you're living in, if you can get access to raw milk. But there is increasing evidence, of course, that the less processed your organic food is, you know, the healthier it is for you.
Now, I have to mention Organic Valley Farms, and full disclosure, they are sponsoring our Daily Greens, but they seem to be very sincere and very pure about their organic line and also growing it. They have cottage cheese, yogurt, more players entering all the time. But are they one of the good ones? I sure hope so.
Yes. In a recent nationwide study of organic dairies, Organic Valley ranked right up there at the top. It's partly, for sure, the fact that Organic Valley, unlike Horizon or Aurora, is a cooperative that's actually owned by the 800 organic farmers who are part of that cooperative. And they understand that you don't want to go for the quick buck and maximize profits at the expense of organic integrity. This is a long-term transformation of American and world agriculture that's absolutely essential to public health, stabilizing the climate, and creating a living wage for the 40% of the world's population who
Ronnie,
are still farmers.
Well said. Thank you so much. I'm afraid we're out of time, but that's been Ronnie Cummins, Executive Director for the Organic Consumers Association. Great interview. We'll get you back another time.